You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Sunday again. Like I mentioned, if you watched one or listened to one, there's three episodes. Right, we're playing full-on catch-up today because I feel with it enough after what's been just not a great 2021 or 2022. What year is it? I don't even know what year it is. I was in church this morning and I was just like, mind just everywhere. Very ADHD. Nonetheless, we are back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day, or in the case of today, is your team today. Very much your team today. Hence, you'll be seeing me wearing the same ensemble for three straight episodes. Heck, maybe four. Maybe Sunday I'll just end up being like, let's just do a whole month's worth of podcasts all today. Probably not going to happen that way. But nonetheless, all right, we're going to continue our position preview going along with the finishing out our defense. And I feel like this is a little bit of an undertaking, but maybe not, because there's four starters here in this position, in this whole unit, right? But there's just so many contributors. I feel like I'm going to miss some. I feel like it's probably not going to be the debacle that my defensive line preview was, which was just, that was just an incapability of me being able to execute. It happens, much like playing touch football at the big house on Friday. Executed the first pass and then threw an interception, the very next one. Inability to execute. So, or intermittent execution. But we are going to talk about the secondary, lumping them all together. There's so many different guys here, but it's going to be really interesting to see how the secondary plays out. It's funny because 2 years ago, we looked at the secondary and it was like, what a debacle. This is awful. Now you kind of feel like this is such a good group. Like, I have more faith in the entirety of the back seven than I do the front four, and I feel pretty good about the front four. For all of the talk that Michigan's going to take a big step back, I think it's just going to look different defensively. You have a very good mix of guys who have played and a mix of guys who have not. And so with that in mind, we have to start at safety. We'll tackle the starters in the first segment here. But I think that when you look at the safety position, it's while, yes, you lose Brad Hawkins, you lose Dax Hill. That's big. I don't think we're talking enough about losing those two guys. But R.J. Moten started games last year. He was a big player in some of these games last year. Like I said this last show, if Michigan does nominate junior captains, to me, like, looking at the defense, I would not be surprised at all if either R.J. Moten or Nakai Hill-Green end up being team captains. Both of them kind of exude that type of leadership, that type of mentality. They certainly have the respect of their teammates. They have a seriousness about them that I think is really, really commendable. So I think that R.J. Moten, we saw him have some good moments last year. We saw him being in the right position. Keeping in mind, again, this was like his first real year, because 2020 was what it was. Some people saw a little bit of time. I think there's a good reason why you can look at Michigan's bad year leading to success last year. And it, in some parts, it's because you had a lot of inexperience that was getting their first experience in 2020 and then got to have a full season, a regular season in 2021. And R.J. Moten, I think, is one that can really benefit from that. He's certainly taken upon himself to understand the importance and prudence of lining up the defensive secondary. And I think that he is going to be a guy that is talked about at the end of the year as being one of the best that Michigan's had. Not necessarily in a long time, so they've had some really good safeties, but Michigan's really churned out safeties. But I think he'll be in that same conversation of guys like Jared Wilson, who's, you know, still doing things in the NFL. I think that he's got that, he's got that capability of being a guy like him or Delano Jones or Delano Hill. Wow, it's Jones. I don't even know where that came from. But, you know, he's got that capability of being a really good player. And then opposite him, you assume that it's Rod Moore, but he also knows he's going to have to work his way back a little bit after being out all spring. But, I mean, what a story to see Rod Moore come out and do what he was able to do in his first year. It just seemed like suddenly Penn State game happened, and it was like, oh, yeah, this guy's doing it. This guy is going out there and making plays. Where did he come from? I do want to see what the Pro Football Focus, what it had to say about him last year. Because didn't play for most of the year. It said that he played every game here. Well, not every game, but every other game. Really started playing in the Penn State game. Posted solid numbers. The only one he was kind of like middling on was Ohio State, but like I think of him playing against Ohio State being a net positive. He kind of faltered in coverage and pass rush and tackling, but Rod Moore made some plays in that game. Let's not delude ourselves. Played awesome against Penn State. Played awesome against Maryland. Played pretty good against Georgia. Wasn't in as much. Played pretty good against Iowa. Wasn't in as much as he was the two games before. But I think that Rod Moore, if he's healthy and able to pick up where he left off, Michigan's going to be in a really good situation at safety with that tandem. But, I mean, you've still got other guys. And this is where things start to get really murky. Because you've got other guys that you expect to step up. Now, Jordan Morant, he transferred out. But we still have other guys to look at. Makari Page, who played in the spring. And, you know, he was a high-end four-star guy. You've got... I almost feel like we got to split the safeties up into one. Maybe we will. I don't know. I think that we might have to split the safeties into one in the corners into another show. Because there's just so much to talk about. So I think we're going to do that. I'm calling an audible. We're not doing the whole secondary. We're doing the safeties this episode. Maybe we will have a four-episode podcast day. See, the fact that I can't say that's probably indication that we should, but we're going to. All right. So anyway, Rod Moore and RJ Moten, I think, are your likely starters. Makari Page is going to have a say about that. He had a very good spring. Sounds like the lights turned on. It's been disappointing that it's taken us this long to kind of see him. Now, we did see him a little bit early in year one in 2020, and then with the defensive coordinator changeover, we didn't see him as much. So it'll be interesting to see if he takes that next step and is capable of being a guy that can potentially break through. But who am I? I'm forgetting somebody that is another potential starter type. I have him on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember. I'm going to have to look here. Oh, I've just totally lost it. Quentin Johnson. Quentin Johnson is the other one who has taken over the role that Ambry Thomas used to take for me, which was getting a picture where he's like looking at the camera, pointing at the camera, doing some kind of, I don't know, I was about to do West Side signal. I don't know what he, I think he just does like that or something like that. Amber used to always do Hit Squad. I don't know if I can remember. It's like that. That's what Amber used to always do, but they always used to make eye contact with me before the games. Quentin Johnson is a senior finally this year. Again, a four-star guy. Sounds like the lights have turned on for him this year. So it'll be interesting to see if he can break through or at least be in the rotation. This is kind of like last chance, man. Last chance, last opportunity. So I'd be interested to see what he is able to do. Because I think that he has an opportunity to kind of break in and break out. All right, let's continue on with the other potential role players. And then we'll get to what's, I feel like, going to take a while. Which is the freshmen. So many safeties. Gonna kind of be the same, I think, at corner. All right, from the people who invented Healthy and Tasty comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You've probably tried the amazing coconut brownie chunk Built Bar, which is my favorite period. But guess what? Your friends at Built have given Coconut Brownie Chunk the Puffs treatment. That's right. Coconut Brownie Chunk Built Bar flavor you love in a deliciously chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. It's like a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. Now, I will tell you, I was skeptical. I'm not a big marshmallow guy. I was very skeptical of the Puffs. And I remember the first time I had one, I was like, this is okay. Now I'm a big believer. I am a big believer in the Puffs. I think they have perfected them. So stop drooling and listen. They're good for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and all delicious. Coconut Brownie Chunk Puffs are only here for a limited time. Go to built.com now to make sure you don't miss out. They're going fast because they taste amazing. All Built Bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. The best part of Built Puffs is, of course, they taste amazing, but you can enjoy them guilt-free because they're actually good for you. They're the perfect treat, perfect for when you've got a craving, when you need to satisfy your sweet tooth, or if you need a quick, healthy snack. They're an excellent source of protein. Delicious coconut, rich sweet brownie, creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing. Get to Built.com to order your box of Coconut Brownie Chunk Puffs. Built Puffs right now. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off of your order. That's promo code LOCKED15. You know how they say, if you don't use it, you lose it? I feel like that's somewhat my ability to talk to podcast, because, listen, I haven't been talking to anybody, really, vocally. Like, two people in the world. Like on a daily basis, and sometimes I sit down here and it's like I feel like when we're in season, when I'm going to press conferences and asking questions and all of that stuff, it's like, oh wow, I can talk. But last week when I did the defensive line preview, it was like, have you spoken to anybody in days? This is your first time talking to people? I think that's kind of the case, but I feel like we're hitting a stride again right now, right in this moment. Hence we are we're going 3 or 4 for Sunday. Doesn't rhyme like 2 for Tuesday or whatever, but whatever. It's not even really a rhyme. It's just alliteration. All right. Let's continue talking about the safeties now that we're deciding to boil things down into safeties and corners. We're going to try to do them all in one show. I feel like that's a bit too reductive as we start talking about the safeties. But there's so many other guys. And I know we just covered a bunch. We covered 4 in segment 1, but there's others that certainly could play a part. So one guy that doesn't get talked about enough that obviously Jim Harbaugh loves, and we've seen on special teams, we saw him make some plays as a safety last year. I think, again, he's the type of guy that Harbaugh loves. And if Jim Harbaugh loves him, you wonder if his new position coach, Jay Harbaugh, will have the similar feeling. I would feel like, especially because he's already known what it's like to coach him on special teams, that's Caden Kolasar, the legacy, John Kolasar's son. We've seen him make plays. We've seen him go from a walk-on to a scholarship player. I'm sure that's continued. And he's the type of guy that I feel like really could take not just a step forward, but become a guy that we become more accustomed to seeing. I think that I feel like we should have saved a couple of players for this next this next segment, because Quentin Johnson should have been here. We're talking about Caden Kolasar. I think he's a guy that certainly can, maybe a little bit undersized compared to some others, but then I'm looking at him compared to some of the others. I feel like maybe I'm just wrong. 5'10", 196, but then I look at some other safeties, Rodmore 6 foot, 173. Quentin Johnson's 5'11", 200. So he's right in that ballpark. Certainly got the athletic capability. I could see him being a part of the rotation as well. So now we've talked about 5 guys. There's one that we saw a bit in the spring game this last year. I've seen him here and there, I believe, in some games. I have to double check, which I think we're going to do here just to be sure. But one player that I think could be a kind of a dark horse, see the field this year, is Keyshawn Harris, who's also he's listed as a corner by PFF. But we saw him get 47 snaps on defense last year. Again, mostly a corner, but I feel like he's more of a safety. He's kind of got that safety type body. I feel like he's going to get that opportunity. Played really well in his, I mean, it was only 7 snaps against Iowa. PFF has him at a 72.9 grade. He's been mostly a special teamer. So I really could see, even though he's been playing corner, him moving and being a safety is because that's usually why I think of him as being more of a safety than a corner. And I mean, the two positions do somewhat converge. But I think that he's got that capability. I think that they like what he's been able to do. I wouldn't be surprised to see him getting in the game a little bit more. And not necessarily being a giant contributor per se, but being a guy that's somewhat in rotation. Like you see him, I mean, he played in 5 games last year, expect him in 8 this year, playing some meaningful snaps here and there. He would be kind of my dark horse to be like, oh, where did this guy come from? Because again, happens every year. All right, we're cutting segment 2 really short because we have to talk about the freshmen. It's where things kind of get interesting, I think. So we will continue here momentarily as we look at the up and coming, the freshman guys that certainly could play a role this year. All right, I'd like to welcome Zuri, who's come and joined us down here in the studio. She apparently, and now she's staring at me and getting all waggy, and she's going to join us on camera, I'm pretty sure, here momentarily here. Yep, there she is. So for you, Jimmy Whitner, if you're watching, then you can see Zuri has joined us. If you are listening, then you just get to hear about it. But she is here. She is excited to join the podcast as she usually is. Looks like she's got something to say, but nonetheless. All right, so Michigan had an incredibly impressive, just generally defensive backhaul in 2022. And it's hard to really figure out which part is better than the other, safety or corner. Obviously, we still have the cornerback selections to talk about here in the next episode here, but I am a big fan of what a couple of these guys, and again, they might be safeties, they might be corners. They certainly can switch back and forth. We've seen that happen quite a bit. But I certainly think that when you look at Keon Sab, you look at Zeke Berry, Zeke Berry isn't here yet, or well, he is now, but he wasn't here in the spring. Keon Sab being being an obvious guy to, I mean, he was a former 5-star. Granted, he finished as a 4-star. The Clemson commit who flipped. He's got that capability. I think that Keon Sab, again, he could play. This is the thing. They've got a couple of guys that could play corner or they could play. And I believe Keon and Zeke are both guys that have been mentioned by the staff as could play, you know, they play inside, could play outside, depending on kind of how they feel. So you've got those two, Keon Sab being an IMG Academy guy, Zeke Berry, I remember he committed the day before the Big Ten championship game. I mean, that was just huge news at that time. And then you've also want to throw Cody Jones in there because Cody Jones is listed on 3 as a corner. He's kind of, I think he was kind of one of those tweeners, could be a safety, could be a corner. I feel like he's got a lot of capability as well. So really interested to see what those guys, where they end up, if they end up at safety, if they end up at cornerback, because they have quite a few players that in this recruiting class, it could be either or. Now, I have to also mention Damani Dent because he, as a lower rated 3-star, that's just not the impression that I get from some of the staff. They talk about Damani Dent as being like the steal of the class, and 6'6", 175, just heard about his penchant for hitting, for work. I got to see if I can pull up Jim Harbaugh's, what he had to say about Damani Dent again, back after he signed. Because it was, I feel like he went on, and maybe I don't have it here, but I feel like he had some things to say about him. I'm just going to hold one quick second here as we do this here. All right, maybe I can't find it. But I feel like he had some pretty glowing things to say about Damani Dent and whatever, but whatever. We'll talk about him as we go forward. But I feel like he could be a sleeper type guy. At least one of those four guys that I just mentioned, I feel like is going to be involved this year at safety. And that's despite the fact that I feel like they've got a really good starting duo. But we've seen on a year-to-year basis that you need more than just the two guys, more than just the starting duo, right? You're going to need multiple players who can play. Whether it's because of injury, rotation, giving different looks. I still feel really good about the idea that it's going to be Rod Moore and RJ Moten. But different looks, different scenarios, different rotations. Certainly injuries are part of the game. There really isn't anyone I mentioned that I feel particularly bad about. Now, some of them are the freshmen and they're kind of unknown. I still feel like this position group, the safety group, has come, I would say it's come a long way, but it's been a very solid group as it is for quite some time. And it's funny that Michigan doesn't seem to get the type of credit that's due, maybe because like a lot of the safeties aren't necessarily going high in the draft. Daxton Hill obviously did this year, but that's not usually the case. They tend to be more of the third round variety. And even the ones that have gone undrafted, like Demonte Thomas, ended up getting to go out and have a little bit of an NFL career. So I think that this is a position group that has consistently churned out guys. And you feel even better about the fact that now, yes, it's Jay Harbaugh taking over the position for the very first time as the first switching over from offense to defense for the first time. I think that will be a decent transition because he's already shown he has a good acumen of football in general. He's done great with tight ends. I thought he did a lot better than people give him credit for at running back. Considering Michigan hadn't had a 1,000-yard rusher from the running back position in, at the time that Caron Higdon finally hit that, it had been 7 years. Fitzgerald Toussaint. I feel like he's done a good job there. He's been amazing at special teams, best special teams in the country last year. And he's not working alone in that secondary, right? It's him and Steve Klinkscale as a team, really. Steve Klinkscale oversees the defensive backs, the secondary. He's the pass game defensive coordinator. I think that that's going to work out really well. And just being able to have Klinkscale, having been around for an entire spring. Remember, he wasn't around last spring. And yet you look at how much better that entire secondary unit became as the year went on. That goes to show what kind of coach he is. And I think that's just going to be a very big boon for the position group. All right, so that is going to do it for this episode. Watch out for at least one more. I said in episode one and at the beginning of this episode, it was going to be the two position previews and the mailbag. Might end up just being the three position previews because we're going to do cornerback next. And then we'll probably do the mailbag and another Big Ten Media Days preview together on Monday before we head down to Indianapolis or even when we're down in Indianapolis. So that is the plan now. The plan's always shifting, always convolving. But anyway, thank you for watching and or listening. We will talk to you again literally in a moment. Peace.